You're listening to the Untidy Faith Podcast, where we have honest conversations and gentle encouragement for when following Jesus gets messy. I'm your host, Kate Boyd, author, speaker, and gentle guide for Christians who are disentangling their faith from culture and desiring to find joy in following Jesus again. There can be life of faith after deconstruction. Let's find yours together. Have you ever felt like an imposter? Not just at work or maybe at home or maybe as a grown-up, I feel that one a lot, but an imposter in your spiritual life, maybe because your spiritual journey or way that you engage or worship doesn't look the same as everyone else's. I have definitely been there. And so today we're going to talk about spiritual imposter syndrome and unpack some of its effects and the way that it works in our lives and discover ways to regain maybe some of our spiritual confidence, even if we are less certain about a lot in our faith than we have ever been. I'm Kate Boyd, the author of An Untidy Faith and the creator of the Threaded Bible Studies, and I come alongside weary and wounded Christians and help them rebuild some of those rhythms and their relationship with scripture and community that go with the faith that they have today. So a lot of us have felt imposter syndrome in a lot of parts of our lives, but one place that we sometimes overlook feeling like an imposter is in our faith, and especially as our faith has changed, because it used to be that for a lot of us, there were certain boxes that you had to check or certain beliefs that you had to hold. And so when those boxes are what your faith is, it becomes really easy to know if you're Christian enough or if you're on the right path. So it's as we're walking through this new sort of messy place in our faith, we can really start to feel like we're not measuring up. Maybe we're not Christian enough, or people accuse us of not being Christian enough or the right kind of Christian. And that is one of those things that we have to move through and get used to, unfortunately, and learn to navigate, because those are the feelings that are going to come up a lot of different times. And so the first thing is maybe realizing that I don't know if there is something that is Christian enough. And certainly there is no one set of beliefs around what Christian enough would even mean across traditions, across history. And so the first thing is really just to recognize that and let go of some of that, those ideas. And even if you don't hold those ideas, sometimes those ideas hold on to you. And so letting go of some of those things and learning to shed some of that weight of burden that you might be carrying around of other people's opinions, or, you know, the past joy and certainty that you used to have, there is a way in which we can just sort of come to a place of acceptance and peace that we don't have it figured out, and that maybe that's okay. And that's sort of the first place to start, is to recognize that you're in a different place in your journey. Your journey is unique, and there's a lot of different ways to be a Christian, and that's evidenced by history and even by the present state of our world, and that it's okay to not feel Christian enough, because frankly, no one even knows what that means. But this isn't even as specific as what you do in the middle of this messy middle that you're in when you're figuring out what you believe. Sometimes once we have decided, or once we have found our convictions or our way forward, we can still encounter this. I remember even back in my very certain days, I was surrounded by a lot of people who connected to God and worship emotionally. And that was really hard for me because, I mean, I'm an Enneagram 5 and I think through my emotions most of the time. And so there was a completely different way that I connected with God, that I didn't cry or I didn't put my hands up when we sang songs. And so I felt like I was an imposter, even though I felt really good and sure in the things that I believed. I thought I was on the right track. I was checking all the boxes. And so even in a place where you feel confident and somewhat comfortable, this phenomenon can still occur. And this can also happen as you're starting to build some of those faith rhythms and practices and beliefs, because a lot of it's like muscles, right? You have to keep flexing them in order for them to build and grow. And maybe you've learned different exercises or different approaches and philosophies, and you're comfortable with those ideas, but actually doing them is kind of hard, right? And so as you're engaging it, sometimes you might still think that maybe it should be easy, or maybe it should look a certain way, or maybe these things, not feeling comfortable, is a sign that you're doing it wrong or that you're not in a good place. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the truth, because everyone feels wobbly when they start again. Everyone has mixed feelings and weird ways of moving through things that feel new and different and that have changed. And so recognizing that not only is your journey unique, that it takes time to sort of move in and step in to new ways of thinking, to new ways of being, to new ways of practicing. And so as you're navigating, you might feel a little impostery because it feels so different. But the more that you move those muscles and flex them, however small at a time that you do them, you're sort of rebuilding those pathways that say it's okay, it's safe, and you start to rebuild that confidence. So as you engage in those activities, maybe you have weird feelings about them. Definitely examine that. But it may also just be that it's different, it's new, and you're figuring that out. So rather than feeling guilty or overwhelmed, allow yourself the space to engage however big or however small that feels good, and to interrogate the feelings and why you're feeling that way every step of the way, so that as you're rebuilding some of these rhythms that maybe you have missed and wanted, that you start to feel again grounded and you're understanding and aware of yourself along the way. Because these are opportunities for curiosity and not condemnation. And that's a big switch that a lot of us have to make. So start asking yourself why, instead of saying, gosh, that's bad. So as you engage in these things, you don't have to do them just for the sake of doing them. But if you want to build those muscles, doing them a little bit at a time and allowing yourself the space to interrogate how it's feeling, how you can continue to move forward, and giving yourself plenty of time to engage little by little instead of having to dive in head first. Because sometimes the diving in head first is what makes us feel like an imposter, because we can't keep up with even this big goal that we've set with ourselves. And so this shows up a lot in our spiritual life, and it's really important to recognize that we don't have to feel that way, and that with a little bit of space and pace, we can maybe find our feet a little bit better and walk forward in confidence, even if it feels uncomfortable. One of the things that I learned that really helped me in my own imposter syndrome journey is understanding the Dunning-Kruger effect. And this is partly because one of the ways that I engage my faith is so much through my knowledge and my head, right? And for me, learning about different beliefs and learning about different doctrines and making some of those decisions is a way that I move forward. And I know that that's not for everyone, but this is one of the ways that worked for me. And the Dunning-Kruger effect sort of says, like, the more you know, the less confident you feel. Whereas the less you know, you can tend to maybe feel more confidence, because there's all this stuff that you don't realize that you don't know, right? What you don't know, you don't worry about. But the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know anything at all, because there's such a wide volume that you know, and you know that there is even more out there. Have I said you know enough? So here we are, having walked through an entire journey of changing our faith and changing our lives and rearranging everything. And maybe we're still in the middle of that change. But what we have recognized is that there is a gap, right, between who we are and who we want to be and what we said what we believed and what we did with that, and even how those different traditions show up in our society. And we have all this sort of knowledge, and we're aware of what people think of Christians, what we think of a lot of Christians, and that can kind of get us stuck a little bit in our own heads. And so when we know all of this, we know that we are working against a lot right? Whether that is opinion or whether that is our own knowledge gap or whether it's just an extreme self-awareness of where we are and how we're feeling and what is or isn't, you know, in effect that we really, really believe in, or feeling like there is never enough that we could do in order to fix the problem, whether for ourselves or for the world or for our friend down the street. And all that can feel overwhelming and can lead to some of those impostery feelings. And that's the Dunning-Kruger effect at work. You know, one of my friends told me about this quote where everyone worries about going back in time to change a little thing that changes the big future, right? And like completely alters the future. But nobody thinks about doing the little thing today that changes the future that is before us. And I think that's one of the things that we need to think about. If we want to change something for ourselves or start making changes in our life and how we interact with God, or even how we care for and connect to other people, whether that is in our faith or out of our faith, just in going about the world, those things don't happen overnight, and those little things can make a big difference. And so sometimes we're tempted to kind of like go big or go home, but going small can make a big difference. And even starting with allowing yourself to recognize your limitation and then realize that maybe that limitation is a blessing for you. Ugh, and I hate using the word blessing because I know how we feel about that word, but that it is a frame with which you can work, right, in order to take those small steps that can make a big difference for you, for your relationship with God or the church or any of those things, and for the way that you interact with the world because of it. Another mindset we need to change is thinking of doubt or uncertainty as a bad thing. We were sort of raised to see doubt and questions as failure of belief or failure of faith. And I think that affected so much of our lives. But if we look at scripture, we see how Jesus was always rewriting beliefs for his followers, that Jesus was always asking questions and wanting people to get at the heart of things, and even allowed questions. He loved people like doubting Thomas and denying Peter, right? He connected with them. He kept them close. He maybe sometimes got frustrated with a lack of faith, but it didn't mean that he severed relationships, right? And so I think we can approach our faith as looking at doubts as a way to grow, as our questions, as ways of exploring our faith and expanding our faith, and signs that we're actually taking what we think, what we believe, and what we do very seriously. Most of the time, those doubts and those questions don't arise because you just don't care. They cause you so much trouble inside because you do care so much. And so by realizing that it's because you care and because you take Jesus and his words and his work very seriously, that these are the things that are coming up for you. So let yourself off the hook. You probably already have if you've been through deconstruction or are in it now. But release that from your mind, because I think sometimes that mindset sticks with us. So if we can start to rewrite that mindset and say, doubt and question and changing belief is actually part of our discipleship process, is actually part of following Jesus, we find so much more freedom to be who we are, and we can step out of that space that makes us feel like we're failing or imposters or not showing up for our faith. Because actually, you're showing up for your faith in a big way when you engage your doubt and questions. I think another way that we find ourselves in this imposter place is when we find ourselves comparing our gifts or our expression or our journey to other people. I touched on this a little bit earlier when I was talking about how I used to feel in worship when I didn't connect to God emotionally the way other people did. But I do think that this continues on, even in the deconstruction space or beyond it. We sort of look at people who've come out the other side and they feel more certain, whether that is they are certain of their disbelief or they have certain of the way that they believe now, or again, on social media, we find like their curated perfect faiths, and we kind of wish that we could go back to that curated, beautiful, certain place that we once had. And that can be a really, really tough, right? One of the freeing things about my deconstruction is that I realized that faith can look a lot of different ways. And I think this is one of those things that we should learn to embrace. Not only is our journey going to look different, but where we choose to land and the rhythms that we choose to build in order to connect with God, ourselves, and other people is going to look different. And part of that is how we are wired as human beings, in your personality or the way that you think and work and recharge. And some of that is in your spiritual gifting and the way that you serve and connect with other people. And there is so much beauty in the idea that we can be this beautiful tapestry of different threads all woven together as God's people. So learning to stop comparing, or at least doing it way less, or catching yourself when you do it, those are kind of the first steps, can bring you this great joy and freedom in realizing that God made you the way that you are, and you are walking the journey that is laid out for you to be connected with God and to grow in that relationship in the way that feels right to you. And so there is freedom of expression within Christianity, and you get to take a hold of that. And maybe that looks like certainty someday, but maybe it looks like being comfortable in the uncomfortable part of uncertainty, and allowing yourself and embracing that freedom to explore and invite curiosity into what you believe and how you interact with a variety of traditions or rituals or ideas so that you can find your own footing again. And so you might feel like an imposter because you're comparing your journey to someone else's. Maybe theirs went faster and you wish that was yours. But not all of us get to go fast. A lot of us have a lot of deep, deep things that we don't even realize is underneath the surface until we start taking steps away from the spaces that we were in before. And as we do that, we start to unpack all of those different things. And so we can feel uncertain and kind of impostery in those times when we're looking at someone else's journey or someone else's, conviction and feel like we should be in a different place. But wherever you are is right where you need to be right now to heal, to grow, and to become the person that you're meant to become. One of my favorite stories that kind of illustrates this is the story of Van Gogh. Yeah, the painter Van Gogh. Van Gogh actually first wanted to be a priest. He was living as sort of a priest in training. He was engaging in all that that meant with the Catholic Church. And when it came to a certain point and he went out into the community, he was up and close with the poor. And he decided he was giving away his clothes. And he decided that the poor should share his lodging and his room provided by the church. And it was this that kept him from becoming a priest. They thought he was too weird. They thought he didn't get it. And so they're like, no, this isn't the career path for you. So sometimes we're not understood in our time. And sometimes doing what we think Jesus would do alienates us from the people who love Jesus too. And sometimes it means that our path shifts and we bring joy and freedom and connection and show our love for God and worship in different ways. He is now one of the most famous painters to ever live. And though he did struggle a lot, not just financially, but obviously we know his story and some of that mental anguish that he experienced. But it's one of those ways in which, you know, the institution of the church, the big picture, people who were in charge of the spaces in which we used to inhabit and sort of controlled those environments in which we believed and practiced our faith, don't always get it right. And sometimes we have to go outside or take a different path to become the person that we know that God wants us to be. And Van Gogh is one of those people who did that and has brought joy and maybe even brought people into worship through his art in a way that nobody expected. So I have to imagine that Van Gogh felt pretty discouraged or confused in that in-between time when he was figuring out what to do if the priesthood wasn't for him. And I think sometimes we can feel that way too. But it doesn't mean that you're an imposter. It just means you're human. It just means you're on a journey of growth and change. We're sort of, you know, guaranteed that. The whole idea of sanctification, of this growing and progressing, right, doesn't mean that everything else stays the same and we just get better and better. It means that a lot of times we're wrestling with ideas and character traits and all of these different things that are working within us. So it doesn't mean that you're on the wrong path because you might feel confused or out of place. It might just mean that you're in the right place and that you're in the part of your journey that's hard and that sucks. You are not alone in that, and you're also not done. There's more journey ahead. And realizing that you have a unique journey and that you get to explore and be curious and figure out who it is that you are as you walk through this can bring special joy. So keep on moving forward is one of those ways that we can keep on being joyful and even being a little rebellious by insisting that we are continuing on our faith walk, even when people tell us that it's not the faith walk that we should be having. It can be really hard when you reach the point in your journey when either you feel like an imposter or people are telling you that you're one. And I think that's kind of what's different about those of us in deconstruction or coming out of deconstruction that go through this imposter syndrome phase is because sometimes that voice isn't just in our heads. It's coming from other people telling us that we are not living the Christian faith. And that can be frustrating. And that can be overwhelming and anxiety inducing. And it can certainly be lonely. But those feelings and those feelings that are thrown at you from other people don't have to dictate how you feel overall and long term and where you go. Your journey is just that. It's yours. It's nobody else's. And so learning to recognize and live into the uniqueness that is your journey and allowing yourself to move through even when it feels uncomfortable and confusing, however slow that may be, will give you that freedom. And once you start finding your way forward, you'll start to feel that momentum build that makes you, that gives you motivation to keep going. So take your time. Remember and embrace your authentic self that God made you to be. And realize that there's a lot of healing and grieving going into this process that may be contributing to some of these feelings. But you're not an imposter. You're just another Christian learning how to work out their faith. Deconstruction, disentangling, this is the work of discipleship. And if you are committed to following Jesus, it's work that you have to do. It's work that we all have to do. And so you're not failing. You're not, you know, out of place. You're actually right where you need to be. And Jesus is right there with you, helping you, nudging you, and creating a safe space so that you can learn to believe and practice the way that he did. Have you ever felt this kind of imposter syndrome? At what point in your spiritual journey did that happen? Was it the beginning? Was it in the middle? Is it now coming out of it? For me, it was kind of all of the above. And what's one way that you cared for yourself and moved forward in that? Or are you still stuck? Come tell me where you are and how you're feeling right now over on Instagram at kateboyd.co. And if you, like so many people here, find yourself in that messy middle space between loving the church and leaving it, I made a private podcast just for you. It's called the Messy Middle Christian Podcast. It's a limited series, private podcast. So there's only a few episodes where I give you some of the tools and tips that helped me to survive my deconstruction. And I give you a closer look at what made me change my mind about women in ministry so you can see what it looks like to deconstruct a belief in practice. So I hope you'll head over there. You can grab it at kateboyd.co/messy. Learning to move through imposter syndrome is one of those skills that can help you for life. And just like learning that skill is helpful, next time we're going to talk about what it looks like to build a faith that can move and grow and expand and anchor down for the long haul. What does it look like to have a faith that's flexible enough but also safe enough to have for a lifetime? And that's what we'll talk about on the next solo episode. So I hope to see you there. And if this episode resonated with you at all, please subscribe and share and rate and review. It's how more people will get connected to the Untidy Faith podcast and the resources that we have and the community that's amazing that you're a part of.